Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. You'll notice the title, The Sounding of the Seventh Trumpet. We'll begin with the introduction. With the passing of the second woe, it is appropriate to pause and note that these events could be disorienting, that is, to cause you to lose direction at first glance. That is because chapter 11 occurs in the section of Revelation describing the events of the tribulation without focusing much on the personalities involved. When the focus turns to personalities in chapter 12, John moves back chronologically and fills in details. Verse 15, I hope you have something to write with. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices. Underline those two words, loud voices. This is a response of the whole host of heaven, celebrating the coming ultimate victory. I'll read that again. This is a response of the whole host of heaven, celebrating the coming ultimate victory. Now let that soak in for just a moment. You're talking about the whole host of heaven. You're talking about millions upon millions upon millions. And they are all happy at the moment. They are all ready for praise and thanksgiving. They are geared up to sing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in heaven. This is the origin of all of it. And they're saying, the kingdom, the dominion, rule of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and forever. I believe when you and I get to heaven and the whole host begins to sing and give praise and thanksgiving unto God, we will not see one Christian do this and say, this is deafening. I can't stand. It's too loud. When you and I have the privilege to join in on what we're about to read and explain, it is going to be a privilege. It is going to be a joy. It is going to be a time of thanksgiving that we've never had here on earth in any church before. Millions upon millions upon millions praising God, loving God, giving all unto Him. And no one is saying, it's too loud, turn it down. And no one is doing this, it is so deafening. You and I are going to have the hearing that we've never heard before. And we're going to hear it all as we join in and we love one another and love Jesus Christ and God the Father the most. What a privilege that is going to be. This is a response of the whole host of heaven coming together and praising the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father of the coming ultimate victory. Did you know that you and I can come together on Sunday morning and you and I can praise the Lord in a similar way? Not in that great of magnitude, but in a way that is wonderful, in a way that is awesome, and in a way that is offering thanksgiving unto the living God over and over and over again. Thank God for that. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom, underline the word kingdom. And it means the focus of this heavenly enthusiasm is the kingdom of Almighty God. I looked at that word enthusiasm for a moment, and then I backed away from it. Then I went right back to it. And I ask myself, Heavenly Father, can we have that same kind of enthusiasm here at Hainesville Baptist Church? Do we have enough heaven in us as God's children that we get here and we're so happy that we can't hold it in, that it's just got to come out? That heavenly enthusiasm, I know it's in heaven, but it can be here at Hainesville Baptist Church. It's just how much heaven do you have in you? The kingdom, the dominion rule of the world has become. Underline those words, has become. What do they mean? It means Jesus is going to replace the satanically energized sovereignty of world rulers that have persuaded so many people and have prevailed so long. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, this kingdom, this dominion rule of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. Underline the word Lord. It is a reference to God the Father. And of His Christ. Underline the word Christ and write the word anointed one. So the question is, when was Jesus Christ anointed? The answer, in eternity past. Before anything was created, before anything existed, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by divine decree that is non-negotiable, Christ became the anointed one of Holy God, the one who would come and pay our sin debt in full on the cross on Calvary, the one who would be raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. That's our Christ. And He will reign forever and forever. Underline that phrase, He will reign forever and forever. And listen to this. When the Father rules, so does the Son. The Father and the Son will rule eternally, together forever and forever. Well, the seventh trumpet announces the imminent arrival of Christ's reign. Underline the word imminent. When you look up that word imminent, it means something hanging over your head that is about to fall. Something hanging over your head that is about to fall. So the seventh trumpet announces the imminent arrival of Christ's reign. As loud voices in heaven declare, and so loud you're going to love every one of them as they come together. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. Underline the word Lord. It refers to God here. And of His Christ, again Christ referring to the anointed one, and that is non-negotiable. And He will reign forever. We are close here to the end of the tribulation, that is 7-year tribulation period, and the coming of God's kingdom, which will come at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. It will roll right into the millennium, which is the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question, is the rapture synonymous with the second coming? The answer is no, it is not. The rapture is when Christ will come in the air to receive believers into heaven. Who are these believers? These are believers in Jesus Christ. They have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus Christ has paid their sin debt in full. Now, He, Jesus Christ, will not come all the way down to earth in the rapture. He, Jesus Christ, will only do that at the second coming, that is after the 7-year tribulation, when He, Jesus Christ, will be accompanied by the saints. And the saints are you and I. All right, verses 16 through 18. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell face downward and worshiped God, saying, to You we give thanks. Underline the word thanks. Thanks for what? for the answered prayers of the saints. O Lord, God Almighty. Underline the two words, God Almighty. And they mean nothing can resist His power. Nothing can resist the power of Almighty God. Why is that so? Because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the omnipotent, the ruler of all, who are and who were because You have taken. Underline the words, You have taken, and it refers to a permanent takeover. Your great power and the sovereignty, which is rightly Yours, and have now begun to reign, and the nations, Gentiles, became enraged, the unbelieving. And Your wrath and indignation came, and the time came. Underline the two words, time came. That is a designated time. It is a specific time. It was set, like many things, in eternity past, and it is non-negotiable. And the time came for the dead to be judged. And the time came, there it is again, you might want to underline it, to reward Your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, God's people, and those who fear Your name. The small and the great, and there it is again, the time came to destroy the destroyers of the earth. Let's go to the top of page 2. Now the 24 elders fall down and they worship. It is a time of worship. It is a time of thanksgiving. Their praise announces that God, in this great power, has begun to reign, just as He said it was going to happen. Then they speak of another resurrection. Question number 1, is this the resurrection of New Testament believers? The answer is no, it is not. New Testament believers occur at the rapture, at the rapture of the church. This other resurrection is the resurrection of Old Testament saints. God's servants, the prophets, who will be given the reward they are due, along with those who fear His name, both small and great. The Old Testament has a unique connection to the tribulation because it prophesies this 7-year period you find in Jeremiah and also in the book of Daniel. Number 2, when will Old Testament saints receive their resurrection bodies? Following the tribulation period. Following the tribulation period. That is a 7-year tribulation period. Verse 19. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened. And the ark of His covenant appeared in His temple. And there were flashes of lightning, loud rumblings, and peals of thunder, and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. They are announcing God Himself. Number 1. The temple in heaven indicates unbroken fellowship with God. Brother, once you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, if you are a genuine spiritual believer in Jesus Christ, you have unbroken fellowship with Him. All right, here we go. Its doors remain open to all the time. Within this temple, John saw the Ark of the Covenant, a symbol of God's holiness as the basis for His just wrath. The Ark of the Covenant is a constant reminder of God's righteous standards. The presence of a heavenly Ark reminds us that God will never forget the provisions of His covenant. God is true to His people, and that is non-negotiable. That will always be. Because of His mercy and grace, God grants complete access. Look at the word grants. The word grants is reference to a grace gift. What is it that God gives you that you cannot give yourself? He grants complete access to His throne, to those who believe. It's not any belief in any religion. It is a belief in the Word of the living God that tells us all we need to know in reference to Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. All we need to know about life after death, about the resurrection, about the power to be saved. Because of His mercy, not mine, because of His grace, God grants complete access to His throne to those who believe. Centuries ago, Christ taught His first disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." One day the ideal will be real. Faith will become sight. The hidden will be revealed. In the meantime, we can live our lives in light of both the justice and mercy of Almighty God. Notice, two timeless truths stand out here. We have unlimited access to God by His grace. What is grace? It is God doing for you what you cannot and never do for yourself. Why do we praise Him? Why do we offer up thanksgiving unto Him? Why does all glory owe to Him? Because of what He gives us by His grace. We have unlimited access to God by His grace. We as believers stand in open relationship with God. It is based on forgiveness, purchased for us by the blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Let's go to page 3. As God's children, we are free from His coming wrath. We will never experience the seventh trumpet judgment or any of the trumpet judgments described in Revelation. Instead, we will have already been transformed and taken to heaven at Paul's last trumpet. While the wicked endure tribulation on earth, the church, the bride of Christ, will be preparing to return with Christ and reign with Him over the earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ that will happen after, again, the 7-year tribulation. At this point, I urge you to pause and ask yourself, have I trusted in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ my personal Lord and Savior? Have I been spiritually born again from above? Has there been a change on the inside of me? All right, back to the printout. Have I accepted God's free gift of eternal life? Eternal life is everlasting life. A life that has no beginning, it is a life that has no end. The moment I receive Christ and trust in Him as my Lord and Savior, I am given eternal life. And nothing or nobody, no sickness is ever going to take that away from you, nor will it take it away from me, because it is God-given. It originated with Him. That is non-negotiable. That is never, ever going to change. Do you see why all glory is given to Him? All thanksgiving is given to Him. All praise is given unto Him. He gives you everything. There is not one thing we give ourselves. It all comes from the living God. And it will never change. Here we go. All right. Do I know for certain that I have a personal, intimate relationship? Intimate is a close relationship. How close are you with Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you got saved. I didn't ask you if you got baptized. I want to know, how close are you and Jesus Christ at this moment? If He's your Father, if He's your Savior, let me tell you something. How close, how close, how intimate are you with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do I know for certain that I have a personal, intimate relationship with God and will be delivered from the coming wrath? Have you accepted this truth personally? If so, never forget that you now have direct access to God. I sat down and I tried my best, Jeff, to get that in my small brain, very limited brain that I have. I, Terry Davis, the child of God, I have access to the Father. And you can say the same thing if you are truly a child of God. I have access to the Father of all things. Here we go. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us, write your name if you want to. I know the Jews were having a hard time back then, okay, but you know what? Therefore, let us, with privilege, approach the throne of grace. I want you to underline the words, approach the throne of grace. Question, how do you approach the throne of grace? Here's the answer. Prayer is the divinely authorized method of assessing heavenly authority for intervention on earth. Period. I'll read it again. How do you approach the throne of grace? Prayer. Prayer is the divinely authorized method. Divinely authorized method. So you got to go that way. Of assessing heavenly authority for intervention on earth. In other words, it is the believer's passport into the spiritual realm. Prayer. Prayer is the believer's passport into the spiritual realm. The king extends in this verse his invitation to you. Don't stay away. Come and get what you need. Did you get it? If you didn't, come see me after. Here we go. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor. With confidence. You mean I don't approach it with fear? How can you walk up into the presence of God with fear? You're coming into the presence of an all-powerful, holy God. What confidence you ought to have. Don't you back away or back off from anything. If you have a little problem, just come running into His presence. And get what you need. Or does not your Father know what you need? So why would you come any other way? Come with confidence. And without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. How do you know when the right moment is? I can feel it. I can hear. The right moment. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come into your presence with full confidence, knowing at the right moment I'm going to get what I need. So don't wear yourself out trying to get it. Because it won't work. God says, I've got it and I'll get it to you at the right time. He says, anyway, I'm more interested in our intimate relationship. If this is going to cause you to get closer to me, I'm going to stretch it out a little bit. What is your greatest need today? Have you boldly approached God with that need through prayer? The doors of heaven are open to you as a child of God. Take hold of your birthright. Don't sell it like somebody did in the Old Testament. You have a birthright that words can't even define or describe. A birthright. And God gave it to you through belief in Jesus Christ. You are a child of the King. Take hold of your birthright and enjoy unlimited access to your Heavenly Father. Father, I just heard 5 minutes ago, He says, that's okay. I knew you'd be back. I got what you need. Oh, by the way, if you want to come back anytime, remember it's unlimited. Now, Satan will tell you, don't go bother him again. Don't go bother God again. You were just there 5 minutes ago. Yeah, but since I left, I've fallen flat on my face. I really busted it. I need to go back again. Grace, forgiveness that comes from God, you're going to have to get out of your box. We have a finite mind. I'm talking about that which is infinite. It's unlimited. That's our problem. We limit ourselves with an unlimited God. The second powerful and reassuring truth, our sovereign King will reign and reward us. Our response, trust and confidence in this hope. You know, I just couldn't write in here, trust what I can do and confidence in this hope. It just says our response, trust. Are you in there? Trust. Who gives you the divine ability to trust? The Holy Spirit. And confidence in you? You? Confidence in you or confidence in the living God? Amen. Now, where do we screw up here? Well, we have a little bit of trust towards God and a lot of trust in ourselves. We have a little bit of confidence in God and a lot of confidence in ourselves. As believers, we are called to proclaim the gospel of salvation until Jesus Christ comes. Matthew 28, you know it well. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority. Look at that word all. A-L-L, little word, big. All authority. All authority. Who has it?
Jesus.
Are you in Jesus?
Yes.
Is He sharing that all authority? Then why do we live as Christians as though we have no authority? Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power, listen to this, absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is saying, I'm in charge, not you. Go therefore and make disciples. The word make is a command, not a suggestion. In other words, when you get saved, you enroll in discipleship. It's not an option. It's a command. Disciples. What is a disciple? Disciple is a learner who seeks to become like the one whom he is following in attitude and action. Now, a good verse to refer to also is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Why am I to become a disciple? Chad? By the way, what is the church for anyway? To see how high you can jump?
Okay. The church is here for you and I as God's people to be discipled. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12 says, I'm here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Do I need to be a disciple to do that? Yeah. Yeah. You are here to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. That's my job with you. Let me tell you something. If you're going to a church that all you hear is evangelism, you probably need to leave. You say, Terry, what are you saying? I'm saying if that's all you ever hear, don't get me wrong. If that's all you ever hear is evangelism and nothing about discipleship, you're not fulfilling the whole, I would say that, the Great Commission right there. Thank you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me. Believe in me and obey my words and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Colt, you'll get some of that Sunday morning. Teaching them. This may surprise you. Underline two words. Teaching them. You know what teaching them means? Teach them aggressively. Teach them aggressively. There's no health, wealth, and prosperity teaching here.
That's right.
We're going to teach you aggressively the word of the living God, for you are to gear up with the armor God has provided for you in Revelation. Is that correct?
Yes.
And as a soldier of the Lord, you are to walk forward and not backwards. When BLM comes, Antifa comes, we will not change a thing. Or the cancel culture comes in, they will not change a thing. We are not going to shine to that in any way.
Amen.
At all.
Amen.
Period. Non-negotiable.
Amen.
And thank God for what I heard from Danny. He said about 35,000 a day. Danny, is that correct? Or just pulling away from Disney.
Yeah.
About 35,000 a day. Praise God for that. Give him a hand, would you? Give him a hand that he'll strengthen, that he will strengthen the rest of believers to do that. Yes, sir. And I think most of you know why that is happening right there. All right. May God give him strength. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Did you notice everything that I have commanded you? And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. In what ways are you personally working to advance God's spiritual kingdom? I'll let you answer that one yourself. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that as your children, we can come running to the Father. We can approach His throne of grace and power. We have access to it any time of any day, whatever the situation. He says, come. Come running. Take what you need. It's unlimited. Dear Lord, today, church has never been any more important than today. It's always been important, but we're really seeing what's taking place in our society, even globally, what's all taking place. And it's taking place just like you said it would. I think that's what's got us all by surprise. We thought it'd be a lot further down the road that we wouldn't have to fool with it or confront it, deal with it. Anyway, well, we are. It's here. It's not going away, Matthew 24 says. If you don't have a church home, why wait? This is God's house. This is God's family. We only serve on your plate God's word. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. As He guides us. As we surrender and yield to Him. So I ask you, is today the day to become a member of this family? Is today the day just to come and say, you know what, I'm not saved. I've been holding back. I've got some doubts. I need to put the stamp on the letter today. I need to know that I'm saved, that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And some may say, I have that relationship, but I don't belong anywhere. Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some are already doing. My friends, I want you to know we need each other as God's people. We need to pray for one another. We need to help one another. For God is fitting us all together as His children to make a solid wall for Him to become that bride of Christ. So wonderful. Now, this is your time, Holy Spirit. We turn it over to you for your blessed will to be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.